Tonight on the Rapture Alert for Tuesday, October the 25th, 2022, we discuss whether or not the prophet Ezekiel was speaking literally when he spoke of the Gog and Magog war taking place by armies on horseback with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Is this to be taken literally? We discuss an EMP attack tonight on the Last Christian Radio Show.
Welcome to the Last Christian Radio Show with your hosts, Brother J.D. Williams and Brother T.L. Farley. It's now time to grab your Bible as prophecy brings into focus the events playing out on the world stage at incredible speed, right before our very eyes, and exactly as was foretold.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, and as always, I'm supposed to be joined by my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley, who's finally flying into the shot at the last possible second. How are you doing today, Terry?
Okay, I just wanted to give people kind of an idea, taste of what the rapture is going to be like. So I thought, well, you know, I can't do the up, you know, but I can do the kind of coming in like, oh man, this is live. Wait a minute.
Okay.
What's going on here? This is real.
Okay. I just thought maybe you fell over yourself there somewhere in an alley. Anyway,
Terry. Wouldn't be the first time.
Terry, tonight we are going to attack a topic that we kind of, I don't know, you mentioned something about it maybe 2-3 months ago, I think, in one of our shows, and it kind of went over my head, to be honest with you. And then as I was doing some study and also listening to news reports, the conversation popped back in, and I started to really think about it and look at Ezekiel chapter 38 even closer and compare it to current events. And we're going to get into that in a lot of detail. Before we get going, as usual, number one, I do want to ask people to continue to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It does continue to grow. We are gaining a lot of subscribers, getting a lot of views. And, you know, I'm not doing this for us, Terry. I want people to be able to send the videos that we produce out everywhere. We've got an audience that goes all over the world, and I want to get the message of Jesus Christ out there. And the best way to do that right now is social media and video presentations such as are done on YouTube. So please do subscribe to the channel, like it, share it, comment on it. We'll answer your comments no matter what you say. We'll answer them. So, you know, just go ahead and, you know, participate. That's the thing. Share. That is the thing. And now, as always, of course, we do want to let you know what's going on in the world today. So we'll start off with the news of the day with Alan Edwards. So here we go.
Here's the latest from the KRRB newsroom. The U.S. housing market is in the midst of a major shift. After 2 years of stratospheric price appreciation, home prices have peaked and are on their way back down. But what home buyers and homeowners alike want to know is how much lower will the prices go? According to experts, the short answer is prices are likely to drop further, but not as much as they did during the housing bust. From the 2006 peak to 2012, national home prices fell by 27%. A California judge has ruled in favor of a bakery owner who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple because it violated her Christian beliefs. The State Department of Fair Housing and Employment had sued Tasteries Bakery in Bakersfield, arguing owner Kathy Miller intentionally discriminated against the couple in violation of California's Civil Rights Act. Miller's attorney argued that her right to free speech and free expression of religion trumped the argument. A skydiver has died after his hard landing at a pregame jump at a Tennessee high school football stadium, officials said. In a statement, Washington County School Superintendent Jerry Boyd said the diver jumped from the David Crockett High School football stadium in a northeastern Tennessee town of Jonesboro. David Crockett was facing Daniel Boone High School from nearby Gray. Boyd said the skydiver was a beloved husband, father, and grandfather. He said mental health support professionals were at both schools on Monday. Tesla has slashed starter prices for its Model 3 and Model Y cars as much as 9% in China, reversing a trend of increasing across the industry amid signs of softening demand in the world's largest automaker, as analysts warn of a price war. The price cuts posted in listings on the electric vehicle giant's China website on Monday are the first by Tesla in China in 2022 and come after Tesla began offering insurance incentives to buyers last month. And that's the latest news headlines. I'm Alan Edwards.
And from that news report, you can tell that the world is focusing on a lot of things that really are not too significant. The one that I did pick up on there was the baker, you know, and being able to use faith-based values. And honestly, I thought that was solved the last time somebody went all the way to the Supreme Court with the very same type of case. But I guess they wanted a double take on it, and the Supreme Court gave them a same decision, you know, and move on. You know, I mean, I've got nothing, you know, if people want to have a gay marriage, I guess they can have their gay marriage. I don't really care one way or the other. And I'll just leave it at that. I just don't really care. Go ahead.
The thing that struck me was the report on the guy that's skydiving to the football game and he dies.
God bless him.
Right in front of the high school. And they've got both schools. They had on the following Monday morning had teams there to minister and help the kids work through this terrible thing. Yeah. Let's use that as an example. When you use that analogy about the last play of the football game, you're not whistling Dixie.
Yeah, that is true. You know, quick story before I go on here, and I'll make it really quick. We had a cheerleader when I was in high school. We had a cheerleader commit suicide. And here's the difference between then and now, okay? Back then, we went ahead, we played the football game that week. I mean, she committed suicide during the middle of the week, had a football game on Friday night. Everybody showed up. There, you know, did a quick shout out. I don't even know how to call it, a memorial, whatever, for her. And then they said, you know, anybody that would like to talk about it, go to the counselor's office. And to my knowledge, no one did. I mean, you know, she was a don't get me wrong, she was really really popular. But we were a little bit thicker skinned back then, I think, and could handle things a little better. Put things in perspective and moved on instead of dragging it out for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. Okay. All right. That's enough on that. I do want to get into this because it's really, really important. As far as this EMP attack goes, I want to show this one first before I get into the real hard one. Take a look at this and then I'll explain it and we'll get on with the EMP thing. So here we go.
Another topic here that I wanted to ask you about. So President Zelensky is seeking direct talks with China to help obviously aid his fight against Russia. You know, off the top here, does China benefit from an independent Ukraine or a Russian-controlled Ukraine? What is China's interest here?
China benefits from Russia being in control of Ukraine. Here's why. First of all, Russia and China are now strategic partners, and they have been deepening their economic and military ties since Putin's invasion on Ukraine. In fact, they have announced in the run-up to Putin's invasion on February 24th a no-limits partnership. So with regard to Nancy Pelosi's generated standoff between the United States and China, the Russians fully backed up the Chinese. And so the two situations, yeah, Russia and Ukraine, and the Russians wanted to absorb Ukraine back under their control and sphere of influence,
yeah,
and Taiwan and China are viewed similarly. And that's why Xi Jinping is watching very closely what's happening with that.
Okay, so it will help. There we go. Terry, the Russians and the Chinese have gotten an alliance together now that is very open with the entire world. And, you know, it's like a no limit thing from what I understood right there, right? So
yeah,
they are, That means that when Russia is ready to go into Israel with the Gog and Magog war that is written about in Ezekiel chapter 38, that China is going to fully support that. And
at this point, that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah. And in my opinion, it's going to help them with something that you spoke about a couple of months ago, which is horses. Now, you know, people are going to laugh and they're going to say, you know, they're not going to fight any more wars with horses, right? Horses and shields and swords and all that. And I had the same opinion. You know, I always looked at Ezekiel 38 as being, you know, well, the prophet Ezekiel couldn't possibly have envisioned tanks and machine guns and bombs and all. You know, couldn't have possibly done that. But then I got to looking at Ezekiel 38 a little bit more carefully, and he doesn't say anything about it's like this or it's like that. And I'm going to emphasize that by showing Ezekiel chapter 38 here for the first time, and then I'm going to play something that people really need to pay attention to very, very carefully. So first of all, let's look at Ezekiel 38 here. And Terry, do you have that on screen where you can read it, or do you want me to?
I do, yeah.
Okay, if you I would like for you to read just verse 1 through 6 of Ezekiel 38.
Okay, all righty. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will go around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out, with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north, and all its troops. Many people are with you.
Okay, and then if you look very, very carefully at verse 4, it says, I'll turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Okay, now, like I said, I was thinking that this was, you know, he was thinking about like this or like that or whatever, but you don't see the word like in any of that, okay? And so then I look at again, and I'm going to put it right back up on screen here, but this time I want you to look at verses 7 through 9, and Terry, if you would, go ahead and read those verses.
Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you.
Okay, and here is, this is where I really want to point something out, is when you look at right around, let me see here, verse 8, after many days you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Now look at this. Look at verse 9 very, very carefully. You will ascend coming like a storm. Notice the word like. You will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops with many peoples with you. So here in those verses, Ezekiel is saying the word like. In other words, there's so many of them, it's like a cloud coming in. But he doesn't say that He doesn't say that in regard to the actual attack. When he's speaking of the actual attack, he says that they come on horses with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, that to me would seem to indicate that he is not taking a tank or a rocket or a missile or anything else and equating that into a sword. But instead, he is speaking literally about a sword. So, how is that possible in this, in our age, here in, you know, how is that even possible that a war would be fought that way? Well, believe it or not, I'm now going to show you, again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, and I guess I should give credit to Fox News for that first report we ran there. But this report comes, and you're not going to believe it when I tell you, this report comes from Al Jazeera. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for this? Here we go. Watch this.
A nuclear EMP, or electromagnetic pulse, is the electric shockwave triggered by a nuclear blast. It has the ability to fry every single electronic circuit in its range, destroying most devices unless they're shielded. The higher the altitude a nuclear weapon detonates, the wider the effect is over its target. All right, so what does this mean? It means once an EMP goes off, everything affected by it goes dark. Literally. A single nuclear bomb exploding high enough can destroy a country's ability to light its streets, power its hospitals, run its stock exchange, access the internet, or use a phone. Most trappings of the 21st century would simply stop working. No car or plane would move, no police officer or fireman could be called, no supermarket restocked. Modern life as we know it would simply cease to exist. North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un has threatened to do just this. To detonate a single nuclear weapon high up in the atmosphere above the United States. And while very little blast damage would be felt, more than 320 million Americans would suddenly find themselves fighting for survival, without power, without lights, and running out of food. Protection against this kind of attack is enormously expensive. The price tag running into the billions are not guaranteed to work. And although some exaggerated estimates claim up to 90% of Americans would die as a consequence, one thing's for sure, it would take months, if not years, for the country to fully recover.
Kind of scary, huh?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Okay. Now, you know, I've talked about an EMP before, but when you begin to put that into Ezekiel 38, and you understand, at least as I do, and I'm speaking for myself here, again, I always emphasize this, I'm not a prophet. All I can do is have a personal opinion of things. And that, in some cases, will also include Bible scripture. I can have an opinion. It doesn't mean I'm interpreting the Bible. It means that I'm expressing my opinion on it. And Terry, you may have a completely different opinion. And I told you before we started the show, that was perfectly fine. And I wanted you to express it if you did. But in my opinion, an EMP over the United States of America and possibly in other parts of the world, because Iran has the technology, North Korea has the technology, China has the technology, Russia has the technology, even we have the technology, Israel has the technology to send one of these EMPs anywhere in the world, anywhere. So if I'm right, what I'm thinking is going to happen is there's going to be these EMP attacks, and we are basically going to be sent back into the age of Jesus as far as military ability. If planes can't fly, and tanks can't roll, and cars can't roll, and you have basically no communication, what are you going to do other than pick up a sword to attack? And I believe that you said something about China had a lot of horses. So my opinion is that Gog and Magog war will in fact be fought with on horseback by armies carrying swords. I truly am now convinced of that. And I'm going to let you express your opinion of it as I put Ezekiel 38 back up on screen for everybody to see here. And go ahead and give me your impression.
That's amazing.
Go ahead.
That's amazing, because I was actually going to ask if you could put it back on the screen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Boy, we're getting good, dude. Okay. First of all, I want to throw in a kind of a parenthetical on the horse comment. And many people who study prophecy will remember back in, I want to say, 70s, 80s, there was a study that was done that revealed that at that time, according to the studies that they were doing, that China had 200 million horses, because the Revelation speaks of an army of 200 million coming, and I believe it's from the east. So they thought those two things coincided. That's where that reference comes from. Now, moving forward to the EMP attack, there's no doubt that if it were to take place, it would cripple electronically whatever parts of the world it reached, wherever they are. So then that would force people to use, as an example, certainly swords and so forth. I'm going to go with that. That's possible.
Yeah.
But I want us to look back on the screen again, on the passage, because I want to show something to you. Okay. It says, splendidly clothed, put hooks in your jaws, etc., with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords.
Right.
You pointed out rightly, and this is where we get into real deeper prophecy study. You rightly pointed out that it speaks of later like a storm,
right,
like a cloud, which helps us to understand it's something other than.
Right.
That's very important. Now watch this. Here's where the argument slows down and causes us deeper study. If you will notice up in verse 5 or 4 or whatever it is, where it says bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, it doesn't say like, which you pointed out. However, we come back and it's talking about in verse 7 and following, it's talking about when, after the Holocaust back in 45, and then in 48, Israel became a land again, and there were people moving back there that had gone through the Holocaust. There are a few of them who are still alive today in Israel.
Right.
And but anyway, the point being, notice it says those brought back from the sword.
Right.
It does not say like a sword. So, in other words, what we can understand from that is if that kind of a situation came forward and it happened, we certainly could be in that fix where people in armies would have to resort to swords. But we also understand, and this gets even scarier, when it says like a sword in the earlier paragraph, and then it says,
from the sword.
Handling swords in the early paragraph, in the second paragraph, it speaks of, that's why we always have the word in front of us, because you get so excited, you're stumbling. But in the second paragraph, it actually doesn't say like a sword. They were brought back what? From the sword.
Right.
So what that does is to open up for us the understanding that they are talking about military weapons that are used for advance.
Can I jump in on that one? Okay.
Because it's free country.
Okay.
In.
All right. Here's the deal. And I understand what you're saying, and you may be right.
Yeah.
But my impression of this is that when Israel was dispersed, they were under sword. They were under the sword. They waited 2,000 years. You know, there was a time that they were dispersed. Okay.
And it was by a sword.
By the sword.
Very nice.
Correct.
Very nice.
And then they were brought back, as you pointed out, after the Holocaust. And now swords are no longer the big deal. Right now we've got the advanced weapons.
Yes.
But then if I am correct and an EMP goes off, we're back.
Yeah.
We go back 2,000 years.
To the sword.
Back to the sword again. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That, I truly believe, is what we're going to get into. Okay,
so well, you've snookered me on that one. Now I'm not going back to the pool hall. Okay, I'm just telling you, you snookered me on that one, and so what for me, because of the way we're looking at this and we're going deep and studying it, for me what that does is that presents the position that you're putting forward on equal footing.
Right.
And there's a very strong, I love that, reference to Rome and 70 AD. That's absolutely beautiful. I just wish that I would have said it. I may take credit for it later, but anyway, no, amazing. It definitely, here's something we both agree on.
Okay, here's what I got to say right now. Okay, I got to do this. I'm sorry. Well, that music means that for some of you, this is the end of this edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. If you would like to hear the second half of the show, we do invite you to visit www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all editions of the Last Christian Radio Show. And, of course, also the Last Christian Podcast that is heard every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. For everyone else, we'll be back after the break for the second half of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show.
KRRB Revelation Radio broadcasts to all 50 U.S. states and more than 160 countries around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We offer the perfect platform for you to host your very own radio show locally, nationally, or to a worldwide audience. And if you're a podcaster or social media content creator, upgrade your productions to digital radio and explode your listening audience. Gain new subscribers, be invited on other podcast or radio shows as a guest, or find guests for your productions. No matter your topic or genre, if it's suitable for all audiences and age groups, you're invited to join the Revelation Radio family. We know you'll love the results, but to make sure radio is for you, your first 90 days are absolutely free, without any obligation or hidden fees. For more information or to get started today, visit www.revelationradio.net or email us at info@revelationradio.net today.
Conversations with Dawn Karima airs on Revelation Radio every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central Time. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, a Native American Music Award winner, Indigenous Artist Activist Award winner, the winner of 2 Global Music Awards, and an Indigenous Music Award nominee. I am an award-winning author, filmmaker, media creator, artist, and Indigenous inspiration. But the greatest joy of my life is serving the Lord Jesus Christ and my beautiful Indigenous people. My home is the Quala Boundary Reservation in Cherokee, North Carolina, in the midst of the Great Smoky Mountains. But we speak with people all over the world who are doing wonderful, dynamic things in their communities. And I hope you'll join us for our conversations on Conversations with Dawn Karima, right here on Revelation Radio.
A while back, there was a buzzword making its round in churches, the word excellence. I remember everywhere I went on the church scene, people were talking about excellence. Excellence in music, excellence in preaching, excellence in every area of life. Looking back, I cannot honestly say that I really learned what it meant to be excellent until I discovered that true excellence can only be achieved if we give it our all for Christ's sake. Scripture tells us, whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not to men. And whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. God has not called us to be more than we are, but He has called us to be all that we are for Him. My friend, I encourage you to get good at what you do. Give it your all and do it for Jesus. God Tracking is doing it heartily for Jesus. I'm Dudley Anderson. Why not email me? Dudley@surereality.net. I would love to hear from you.
KRRB-DB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Here's the latest from the KRRB newsroom.
This is the latest news headlines in 60 seconds with Alan Edwards.
Rishi Sunak became Britain's youngest prime minister in modern times after he won the race to lead the Conservative Party.
I am humbled and honored to have the support of my parliamentary colleagues.
Justice Clarence Thomas on Monday agreed to temporarily freeze a lower court order requiring the testimony of Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
But for now, it looks like it will be delayed further.
North and South Korea exchanged warning shots off the West Coast on Monday, accusing each other of breaching their maritime borders amid heightened military tension.
The North's military said it fired 10 rocket artillery rounds after a South Korean Navy ship violated the NLL.
A California judge has ruled in favor of a bakery owner who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple because it violated her Christian beliefs. That's the latest headlines in 60 seconds. I'm Alan Edwards.
Welcome back to the second half of the syndicated Last Christian Radio Show with J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Well, Terry, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there. But, I had to do it because, the show isn't carried by all stations, of course. But anyway, if you wanted to finish your thought before we go on, I'm happy to let you do that.
The only thing that I have to add is I'm glad we had that break. It gave me time to wipe the egg off my face.
But I could be completely wrong. I'm not a prophet. That was just my opinion.
Here's the excellent thing is your observation opens up the understanding possibilities. Because we're in a level of examination of prophecy where now it becomes, okay, well, what do you think? And really, people who study prophecy, they want to wait years. It's kind of like the people that do the histories. Write a book on history. No, it's too early. I've got to wait, No, and they're serious. They won't touch anything that's not, if it's not 100 years old and they don't have a book, stack of books, but this is the exciting part. And why is it important? Because Jesus said, watch. He didn't say it's going to happen next week or next. We all know what he was talking about.
Right.
Watch. So I welcome that kind of, and like I say, the challenge is when someone says something that has definite grounds for consideration, you don't push it away. You welcome. Oh yeah, hey, that's excellent. Let's keep that on the table.
For me, it was simply a point that I thought, it just kind of popped in my mind. This is a real possibility.
Absolutely.
I mean, EMP, this isn't anything new. I even saw a report. I almost included it, by the way. I saw a report of a 1960s test. I mean, during the 1960s, I think it was 1962, that the United States tested this possibility. Mm-hmm. And since that time, they've done absolutely nothing to harden our grids or
defenses.
Nothing's been done. But anyway, that is a possibility, and it's something that we should really consider. And, there were people that I was reading about, saying, we really hope this happens after the rapture of the church. And I joined with them because I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like if this happened and we're still here and all of a sudden you've got no electricity, no running water, no cars, no communication. I think I'm at a little bit of a better advantage than you are. Because I'm out here in East Texas, and there's a lot of hunters, and it's a more rural area. And I think we would probably get through it a little better than people that are trapped there in the Metroplex area of Texas, where, you know.
Well, you may find a visitor knocking on your door.
Come on down, Terry. There's always room for you here. There's always room for you and your family here in East Texas. Don't worry about that. Now, you may have to walk or take a wagon. You know, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, you would definitely be welcome. Anyway, I wanted to bring, this happened this morning. It was breaking news out of the state of New York, believe it or not.
Yeah.
This is from the New York Supreme Court, which has announced that it has reinstated all employees that have been fired for being unvaccinated, and they have also ordered back pay for those that were affected. I'm not getting, again, you know, I've got to be extremely careful of what we say and what we're allowed to say by, you know, what I call, well, actually, I've got this from a friend of mine. I can't take credit for it. But anyway, he calls it the Godverment. And, you know, that is really about what, unfortunately, what things have turned into.
Yeah.
But so I can't make any further comment on it other than to say that the Bible did foretell of pestilences, and those are popping up all over the place and continue to as we go along. Now, tonight, it started just right at the top of the hour there is a debate going on. I'm looking forward to listening to this. And this is between the Democratic candidate in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman. Is it John Fetterman or Don Fetterman? I think it's John Fetterman.
I think it's John, yeah,
okay.
I think, yeah.
Right, and then Dr. Oz, and that's going to be a very unique debate. The way it is set up there, I don't know. It should be.
When did you say that's going to air?
It's right now. It's competing with us as we speak. Okay.
It is.
So
I'll be back in a minute.
I've got it on DVR. Okay. I got it on DVR. So we'll get to that. But anyway, I'm interested to see what happens there because there's a virtual tie in the polls. And, you know, if we are granted a Thursday for the Last Christian Radio Show, I intend to get into a little bit of the polling from Real Clear Politics. And by the way, and you had no advance notice of this whatsoever, you're hearing this along with everybody else out there. But
okay.
I am considering running an election night live broadcast right here on Revelation Radio.
Wow.
In which we will cover the races as they're going on live. And Mr. Terry Farley is invited to participate in that broadcast. Okay. Now,
he will be there. He'll be there.
Okay. Well, that's good enough. Anyway, I did want to play a little something on that debate tonight. And again, this is going on right now, but I hope you guys stay tuned to us, and I hope you got that one DVR'd. But this is what they were talking about this morning on Fox. Fox, again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association. I'm playing this courtesy Fox News. Here we go.
Fetterman's campaign is already lowering expectations into the basement. Here's a quote. Let's be clear about this matchup. Dr. Oz has been a professional TV personality for the last two decades. We'll admit this isn't John's format. Oz clearly comes into Tuesday night with a huge built-in advantage. Pittsburgh-based columnist, reporter Selena Zito joins us now, who's covered Fetterman since 2005. John Fetterman, lowering your expectations. Is the John Fetterman you've been covering pre-stroke similar to the one post-stroke? What's the difference?
No, and it's very clear that Lieutenant Governor Fetterman is still suffering the effects of the stroke. He has the inability to interact with you, you know, face to face, and he has to rely on Google something, I forget what it's called, a Google application to be able to take questions and answers.
This is going to be so bizarre, Selena. We're going to watch a question go out from the moderator, long pauses of silence, and then John Fetterman will answer in a staccato, halting manner. And that's expected.
Yeah. Yeah, that is expected. You know, kudos to Dr. Oz for agreeing to this. I think the Fetterman camp was didn't bend enough. It should be an hour and a half long.
Sure.
Because there's going to be so many spaces between questions and answers. It's not going to be a true 1 hour of vigorous debate. This is a very serious time. There are very serious issues. And this is not something that the voters want. They want to see a contrast about where either one of these men want to take the state in going forward.
Okay, so now this is going to be really weird. Okay, I mean, I've never seen a politician running for office that is obviously affected by a stroke, and God bless him. I hope he gets over it. I really do. I don't want anybody to go through that type of thing. I've seen people, including my own dad, that went through strokes, and you know, my heart truly goes out to the man. But I don't think that he should be seeking political office. I don't think he's capable of carrying out the office in the Senate. But then again, he's got a precedent. That precedent is our president, who is incapable of carrying out the office, in my opinion. I think he's lost his cognitive abilities there, and I don't think that John Fetterman is capable of carrying out his duties in the Senate either. What are your impressions on that, Terry? And try to keep it as in such a way that YouTube can't say anything to us about it.
Yeah, well, certainly our hearts go out to both the president and Fetterman. We wouldn't wish this on our worst enemy.
No.
But we also pray for the people that are around them, that are enabling them to do these things, that they will come to the light and understand they're not helping the country by supporting these people. There are a lot of people I know that are incapable of many things. I still love them. Right. I still want the best for them, but I'm not going to let them drive the bus.
Right. Well, you know, for me, and I've said this many, many times, I am an independent. I do not represent either the Democratic or the Republican Party. I think that you have come out publicly and said that you mainly are Republican. I don't know if you call yourself that or not.
Well, conservative. I'm a conservative.
Me too. Yeah.
And so I recognize that quality in people across the board.
Yeah. Well, my point was is that I'm an independent. I will vote for whatever candidate is in line with the Word of God.
Yes.
And in my personal opinion, I could never vote for John Fetterman because he does not have the stance that is in the light of the Word of God. So I could not vote for him. And the only thing that I encourage people to do is, if you are a Christian, don't look at party. Don't look at Democrat. Don't look at Republican. Look at where they stand on the issues and base your vote on the issues and not the party. Don't vote party.
Yeah.
Vote, I mean, that's something I don't think anybody should do, is vote party.
No.
Because both parties are going to disappoint you. You know, I've said that many times. Both parties will disappoint you. Okay. Now, the next thing that I want to go over today, though, is something, again, that gets back into Ezekiel 38 in a large way, and that is natural gas, oil, coal, energy. Okay, And this is beginning to affect us here in the United States of America. We know that trucks are having a difficult time rolling right now because the independent truckers and those that are contract truckers. And let me explain that to people that don't understand, because my wife is in the trucking industry, and that's the reason I've got a little impression on this, is because these contract truckers that work for a trucking company, they are actually employed by a trucking company, like the ones that are employed by the trucking company my wife works for. They are independent contractors that have their own trucks, and they take on their own fuel costs. The company doesn't pay for it. The trucker himself or herself pays for it. And when that price goes up to a certain point, then it becomes a challenge to them to be able to afford to buy the diesel for their trucks, which impacts our supply lines. Okay, so that's one impact. Now the second impact is with our natural gas flow, which has also been affected by what has been going on. And here I have a clip from Fox News about the impact of the lack of natural gas to the northeastern states. And I want you to listen to this one very carefully, because it's honestly scary and heartbreaking at the same time. Listen to this.
Thank you for joining us. This is an emergency, isn't it?
Yes, Steve, we're heading into a perfect storm. There's no heating oil. Our supplies are low, we have high prices, and we have cold weather coming. The fortunate thing is we're talking about this in October, so we're forewarning to get more supplies into New England.
Right. When people were looking at some video of another gas company hooking up the fuel oil to a house, when people call your company to get gas, when they get the bill, are they shocked?
They're dumbfounded. To fill up a 275 gallon tank is over $1,100.
Oh.
It's about 40% more than last year. It's detrimental to the elderly and on people on fixed incomes. The Northeast consumes about 85% of the country's heating oil. And it's the old adage of supply and demand. We have low supply and demand is on its way. In January, we're looking at, unless we get some replenishment of supplies, we're looking at a cold month. Yeah. It's similar to toilet paper rationing, except we can't go without heating oil.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Sam, I was reading that some people in New England are hoping for a warm winter, because they know every time they turn up the heat, that's money just right out of their pocket. And you mentioned the elderly. I understand some of your elderly customers are saying, you know what, I just want 100 gallons because I can't afford to fill up the whole tank.
That's correct. And we're accommodating them. A lot of people want short fills. We call them short fills. Can I only get a small delivery to get me through to my next month's paycheck or my next month's check because I'm on a fixed income? We don't want anyone to go without heat, and we're a group of family-run oil companies in New England, and we've have a proven record over the years of providing heat to everybody in New England.
Well, the prices have already soared, and it's going to be a cold winter. And unfortunately, you know, people are going to put on extra layers because they can't afford to make it warm in the house.
Okay, so as you can see, this energy situation is not only something that is affecting France, which, by the way, it's been reported that French police are actually having to push their patrol cars because they don't have any gasoline. Okay. It is affecting the Ukraine, which has really no form of energy. Their nuclear plant has been shut down. and that was a big supplier of their energy. And of course, all over the world, there's a strain on energy. The Nord Stream pipelines being sabotaged by whoever did it, between Russia and Germany, or to mainland Europe. Those sabotaged, out of business, can't do anything. So Europe is straining for energy. We're straining for energy, even though we've got tons of it. Our president won't turn it back on for whatever reason. And by the way, I haven't ever mentioned this before, but I'm going to now. He's also tapping the emergency supply of oil. Okay, now keep in mind that emergency supply is in case of emergency. For instance, if we were attacked and we needed a lot of fuel, we go to our we go to that supply. Well, our supply is now half of what it used to be. And remember, the oil production is now basically shut down. I mean, maybe I'm overdoing that part of it.
You're not.
But because, you know, there is some production going on, but it is nothing close to what it was before President Biden began to shut things down. What are your impressions on that, Terry? Just the oil situation, the gas situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the reality is if the Republicans don't take over in power on Election Day, the truth is, folks, is those prices are going to skyrocket right back up. And it, just like inflation, there's no ceiling there.
Right. There is no ceiling.
You know,
you're right.
The people that have to have the stuff aren't going to have it. No. And we're going to experience times that have not been since, I don't know, the Depression. I don't know. Right. It's just terrible. And the what makes it infuriating is it's not necessary.
Right.
You know, I mean, I laugh at these people with these electric cars. They have all kinds of issues in terms of being able to go. You know, they had to shut down people, stop them from plugging their cars in California because they didn't have enough electric power.
Right.
Come on, folks.
Well, you know
what's going on?
I got no problem with all this, you know, renewable energy stuff and all that. I honestly have no problem with that as a part of how to provide energy. But why do we cut ourselves off from the other stuff? I mean, it makes no sense. And, you know, I went into this with you in another show, my point being that it doesn't matter to the world as far as climate change goes, whether or not you drill for oil in the United States or if you drill for oil in China or Russia or Iran or Saudi Arabia or India or Pakistan or whatever. It makes no difference. And those places are not stopping drilling. And our government, our president, is saying, please don't. You know, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. And we'll buy it from you, but we won't do it here because we're more concerned about climate change. But, you know, climate change doesn't affect us if it's done over there. And that's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just silly.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Stupid.
I don't believe in climate change, but let's take it from there.
I believe in climate change. I believe in climate change. The climate has been changing since the world existed. It's always changed.
Yes. All right. I have no arguments with that. But anyway, going back to it, the fact is they're pumping gas now and we're not. And when we were pumping gas, they weren't pumping as much because they were buying it from us cheaper than they could bring it. Now I'm starting to wave my hands.
They're getting like me. Okay.
They're buying gas from us because it was cheaper to buy it from us and have it shipped to them than to actually drill it out of their own ground. And our gas was better gas.
Yeah. And more safely produced and everything else. Yeah, I know.
More safely produced.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's where we're at.
If I can offer an opinion.
you can. And, you know, that is the truth of the matter. you know? Yeah. And again, this all plays back into Ezekiel 38, because the Lord said that he is going to put hooks in the jaws and draw the coalition down to Israel, who, by the way, has plenty of natural gas, okay? Russia cannot send their stuff out. Their pipeline got blown up, okay? Yeah. And, you know, the United States blames it on Russia, and Russia blames it on the United States, and I don't care who's responsible. The fact of the matter is the pipeline's down, okay? And that's the reason that the French are having to push those patrol cars. That's the reason that everybody is turning to alternate places, and that is also very possibly the beginning of the hook in the jaw that the Lord spoke of, because Israel's got it, and not only do they have plenty of it to go on for decades and decades, if not longer, but their areas of being able to distribute that natural gas are running, and they're running at full speed. So what better excuse could Russia have for moving in and taking over what Israel has to be able to distribute that natural gas wherever they want to? They would then have a lock on the market, because remember, ours is turned off. So nobody else is going to have that ability. What better avenue would they have to take over something that's already there? It's already working, it's already pumping, it's already distributing. All they got to do is come in, take it over, and say, okay, it's ours now. Now you're buying from Mother Russia. That's the hook in the jaw, in my opinion. And that's what brings us again to Ezekiel chapter 38. And I'm going to even put it back up on the screen one more time to make it really clear here. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tabal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah, from the far north, and all its troops, many people with you. This is something, Terry, I believe is happening right now. And I see prophecy playing out right before our very eyes. I think the hook in the jaw is there. I think it's being set by the Lord. We went over this. We've gone over this several times in the show. But it's important that people keep their eye on this. Very, very important. Amen. People keep their eye on this. Terry, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want you to have an opportunity here to speak a little bit about Blast Off for PM Ordinance 5th edition.
Okay. Folks, listen, if you want to know if there's any light at all, if there's any daylight, it's in the prophecy of the Word of God telling us that he is going to take everyone who believes in him. All you need is Jesus. The man prayed in the temple. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man, that little tiny prayer that man prayed sincerely, he could not lift his eyes to heaven because he knew he was a sinner and was not worthy to even look on heaven. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said he went to his house justified. But there's a promise for everyone who's been justified. Jesus is coming back to take us out of here, and it's going to happen in so fast. It's going to be an atomic moment, and I've got it all backed up by scripture and science in the book, Blast Off, Rapiamore. Get a chance, Google T.L. Farley books.
Amen. And I do encourage everybody to do that. And you, that was about perfect on time there, Terry, by the way. But now, we always say it, and I really mean it. If we are granted a Thursday, we'll be back at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, Thursday night, for another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. If not, please, people, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, I do implore you to do so. Time is running short. It is running out. And, well, please, accept the Lord before it's too late. You don't want to be a part of that great tribulation period. Until Thursday night, everybody, good night and God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for the Last Christian Podcast, now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.